God bless you all. I'm Richard. I'm 36 years old. I'm a Dutch guy. Yeah. All right. And I'm married with Pita. She's a medical doctor. We have three kids, three sons from 12, 9, and 8 years old. And we are almost married 15 years now. In February, we will be married 15 years. And I want to talk about family, but before that, we'll talk a little bit more about my ministry. Why did I go from the Netherlands to Brazil? God called me to train Brazilians to become missionaries. Brazil is a big country, and in Brazil, there's a huge revival going on. It's now the country with, I think, the most Pentecostal Christians in the world. And it's a huge revival there going on. And I'm training them to do missions, because many parts in the world, there are not so many Christian churches. In Europe, it's the only continent where Christianity is declining. Yeah. So I'm training there especially to become missionaries to Europe. So we started a mission school there. And we already have sent several missionaries from Brazil to Europe and different parts of the world. Also, I pioneered there in church, and I do a lot of student ministry. I'm the vice president of Chi Alpha in all Brazil. And I heard you got here a big Chi Alpha group. Ain't that right? Yeah. Yes. So I want to talk with you about that later with the Chi Alpha guys to work together, because the world is getting smaller every time. Amen? I want to talk with you about family. And family is something very important. There's big power in family. I first want to start with Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. And maybe you will think, what has that to do with family? But I will explain it to you. Genesis 12... Chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It's the calling of God of Abraham. And God says to Abraham, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to the land that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you. And through you, I will bless all the nations. God is saying to Abraham, I'm going to give you a family. And this family of yours is going to grow. And when it becomes bigger, it will become so big that it will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. So through family, you can reach the whole world. That's what I learned from it. I believe there's power in a family. If you've got a strong, powerful family that loves God and that worship God and that obeys God's commandments, I think you can change a city, you can change a nation, you can change the world. And I got many examples of that, but I will not show that because I want to talk to you about how to have a healthy family. But if you have a healthy family, you can change history. And there's power in family. And I believe the family is the big project of God. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27, when God created man. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27. I need to get used again to speak in English, because normally I speak all the time in Portuguese. Is someone here that speaks Portuguese? Yeah, vocês falam português? Vocês são brasileiros ou Portugal? Você é brasileiro? Que benção. Mais brasileiros aqui? Oh, you speak Portuguese? Yes. Oh, que benção. Também brasileiro? Não? Mas que benção. Lá mais brasileiro? Não? Não fala português? Oh, seu pai é português. Que benção. All right, let's go back to English. It's always good to... I hear there are many people from many countries and many nations here. Ain't that right?
That's right.
Yes, that's a great miracle. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27. Then God said, and now we will make human beings, and they will be like us and resemble us. They will have power over the fish, the birds, and the animals, domestic and wild, large and small. So God created human beings, making them to be like himself, he created them male and female. Here's a big mystery. Because number one, God is a trinity. And God is three, that in the same time is one, and one is three. And that has got nothing to do with logic, because it's impossible that the number three is the same as the number one. and number one means the same as number three. It's impossible. But God is three persons. In the same time, those three persons are one person. And that's a mystery. How is that possible? God says, look at men and women. I will create them in my image. And men and women, they will become one. One will be two. Two will be one. How is that possible too? Because God is relationship and harmony and in love. God is love. The essence of God. If you will look in his DNA, he is love. That's what God is. God is perfect love and perfect harmony and perfect unity. That is who God is. And God is saying, I will make men able to experience that the same. That they will live in harmony, that they will live in unity, that they will live in relationship, in love, united. The two will become one. That's the big mystery. Amen? So, God created us that we are able to love each other. The problem with people is that we don't grow up. Most of our people, when we get born, if you got a little baby, when a baby is born, what does a baby do? Cry? Yeah, the first thing what he does is, wah! Why does the baby do that? Why does he cry hard, really hard? Wah! Why does he do that? He tries to breathe. And later on, he does it again. Now he's breathing and he's doing again. Wah! Why? And crying. Why doesn't baby do that? He's hungry. He wants food. And then he has food. And then he starts to wah! Do it again. He's breathing. He has food. What does he want now? Attention. All the time, the baby goes wah! And he's saying, I want something. I want something. Give it to me. And if you ain't going to give it to me, I'm going to keep on. Wah! And I will do it really hard, really annoying, till you will come to me and help me. That's what a baby does. You know that little babies, they've looked to their senses. And babies cannot make the difference between our faces, between everything what they see. Everything for them is one big soup. Yeah, really. They don't see our faces. They see a whole mass of things. And the only thing what they really know is what they want. They say, I'm hungry, I need food. And they go off. They say, I need attention, I need heat. They want it, and they cry. So they are really big, egoistic beings. That's the truth. A baby is a big, egoistic being who says, I need my stuff to survive. And someone is going to provide it to me. And I'm going to cry and yell till someone is going to provide it to me. That's what a baby does. And when he grows up, if we don't start to learn him that he's not alone on the world, he will keep on going with that attitude. He will say, this toy is mine. This is mine. And I want that. And I want chocolate. And I want ice cream. And if the parent is not going to teach the child saying, look, you're not the boss. There are other people around here. You need to share stuff. You need to understand that you're not alone in the world. The child will keep on going there till he becomes grown up. Till he will hit a wall that someone will say, understand now, you're not the only guy. There are more people around you. You need to live together. But someone needs to learn it to him. But most of us keep with our little childish attitude for a long time. We want to get what we want to have. And I'm only looking for myself, and I will get the stuff that I want to have. And that's our attitude. And sometimes the boys and the girls, they get really support of their parents. Because I say parents, they love their child. That's a natural thing that God has given to us. Because that baby who's crying, we're going to give attention if I'm the father and mother. If I'm not the father and mother, I will say, I'm going to run away. Let someone else clean the diaper. All right? Yeah, that's the attitude. But a father and mother will say, I love my baby. I'm going to do everything. And if the child is growing up, they say, I will get you the bicycle. I will get you your new clothes. I will get you the Nikes you want to have. Ain't that true? That's what parents do. And parents want to do that even if their child become really big. Even if they're grown up, they're still phoning up. What do you need? Is everything okay with you? Do you have got food in the freezer? Yeah? This is what parents do. They're concerned. Do you need some money? I will write it over to you. Not all the parents. I'm speaking general. Because there are some parents that are not really nice. All right? But in general, parents want to do the best for the child. And a child is raising up with an attitude that he's always good. Now you even got, let's say what parents are doing. I heard that it's in American high schools like that, that now if they do competition, everyone is a winner. It doesn't matter what you do. They will say you made a goal, even if you don't make a goal. They will say you are good, you're the best. Because parents want to say that to the kids. Ain't that true? Mm-hmm. We just want to lift them up. And what happened with the kid is all the time in the middle point of attention. He thinks that the whole world turns around him. And we learn that we don't need to be responsible. We learn that the world turns around us. And we see everything as an object that is to serve us. And we become egocentric persons. And that's what we do in life. We are more concerned about my ego, what I want to have, about seeing other people, how can they serve me. And I don't need to be responsible because I don't want to be responsible. Let other people be responsible. I don't even want to be responsible for myself. And you see that even now I think with government in all the world, that in the Western world, and I'm looking because I'm in Brazil, and I'm seeing the big mess now in politics in Europe and the United States, that people are saying, life is hard and my government needs to help me. Don't want to take responsibilities for their own lives. Wake up, because if you go to the rest of the world, you will see what really means what life is hard. And you will see that the government will do nothing for you. And you need to wake up. You need to take your chair, your workload. But we don't want to be responsible. We want to put responsibility upon somebody else. And if we have that attitude that we see everything as an object, we see everything that turns around us, and we don't want to take responsibility, I got really bad news for you. You're not ready to get marriage. Yeah? Because marriage means love. It means that it's not more about you, but it's about others. It's not more everything, I need to be happy. Now, I must think, my partner needs to be happy. And I'm the one responsible to help her to become happy. I don't must see everything as an object. What can serve me? I will marry this girl here because she's pretty and she got rich parents and she got a nice degree and that's all good for me. Yeah, that's I'm looking at her as an object. I cannot look at her as an object. I need to look at her as a person. Let's say, what are her feelings? What does she want? What are her dreams? If I don't ask those questions and I don't think like that, I only think, well, what can she provide to me as an object? Things will go really bad. If I don't want to be responsible, if you got married, someone must be responsible to pay the bills. Someone needs to put the garbage away. Someone needs to clean up. Someone needs to work. Things must be done. Someone must be responsible. But if I don't want to take responsibility, there will be fights. So we must change our attitude. We must become different. We must stop being egoistic persons who see everything as an object and don't want to have responsibility. We must become persons that are concerned about the others, want to have responsibility, and look at other persons as a subject who has an own character and own personality. Let's look what Paul says about this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, goes all about love. It's the chapter about love. How many of you know this chapter? It's a beautiful chapter. But I want to focus on one verse in that chapter. Because I said we must stop being babies. Stop being egoistic children who don't want to have responsibility. You see everything as an object. My toy to play with. Yeah? We must become different. What does Paul say? Verse 11. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I'm a man, I have no more use for childish ways. in a chapter about love, Paul saying, stop being a child. You need to become a grown up. Because a child doesn't know what is love. He's still so small that he only needs to receive. He's a sponge that wants love. And we need to give it to them. Because of that, they will not know what is love. But they're not able to be responsible in a house. My child cannot be the responsible guy in a house. He cannot be the one who will give love to others. He just receives. But we must become grown-ups. We must become people that will stop being in a childish way and become the ones say, I am going to be responsible. I'm going to love. It's not around me. It's about others. And I will see not other people as objects, but I will see them as subjects. People have needs, personalities, who need stuff. So that's what we must learn to do. And one thing in the Western society, it becomes every time harder to achieve this. Because in the Western society, you finish your high school at 18 years old. Then you go to college. You go to university. Who pays the most of your bills? The government. Your parents. Yeah? Then you have finished your studies. You need to find a job. Then you get your job. And how old are you then? Average? 25, 26. And then it's for the first time that you really are going to learn, now I need to be responsible for myself. And then if we're living in a government, in a society, that even if you fail, you got a whole network that will be responsible for you. So it's really hard for us to become grown-ups in our Western world. That's what I've seen. If I travel around the world, I'm seeing that. So we need to learn that we say, no, we need to become grown-ups. We need to be responsible for our lives. And we need to love other people and be more concerned about other people. Not only being concerned about ourselves, about my career, about my programs, what I want to achieve, my house, my car. Because that's what we're concerned. We're concerned to achieve things for ourselves. If we say, if we have those things, I will be somebody. Because the bigger car I have, the more important people will think I'll be. The bigger house I have, the more important I will be. The better job I will have, the more important I will be. We think that if we achieve those things, we are somebody. If we are focused upon those things, focus upon our clothes to make an impression. You know you're somebody that's created in the image of God. You're somebody if you love somebody else and the other person loves you. But most important, if you can give love, you become somebody. Different than the world is teaching us. The world is teaching us you're somebody if it turns all about you and you achieved your dreams and you're powerful and you're rich and you're mighty, then you're somebody. But most, if you got that attitude, you don't give love. It's all about you. And you want to find someone who can help you to achieve that. But you're not interested in the other person. You're more interested in how the other person can help you to achieve your goals. And that's why most people come into marriage, what I say, like two fleas who are looking for a dog. Yeah? Most of the people are like a flea. You know what that animal is? It's a parasite who only wants to suck. And he said, I got my dreams. I need to achieve this. And to achieve that, I need someone to help me. And I'm going to find that person. That'll be my dog. And I will suck the blood out of it. And I will achieve my goals. But the problem is that the other person is a flea too. And it's the same ideas. I got my goals. And I need someone to help me to achieve my goals. And I will suck the blood out of it. And there are two fleas together. And they find out, two fleas without a dog. And then they come, bing, in a big problem. Yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened. First, we need to stop to thinking about ourselves. We must say, hey, I want to know who's the other person. I want to love the other person. I want to help the other person. I want to be responsible for the other person. We need to change our mentality. If we don't change our mentality, we will have marriages that will not work. In the Western world, and almost the mentality is going to many other countries now too, marriages are breaking up. Every time we see the rate of divorce getting higher. And people say, how can that happen? Because they say, yeah, you got no fulfilling relationship, but it's a fulfilling relationship. What we want is an egoistic. We want the other person to help us to achieve our dreams. But what the Bible's telling to us, the Bible's telling is love. And love is something that's not egoistic. I want to give myself to the other. I want to achieve her dreams of his goals, not mine, but the other, who's my partner. And that's a big change in mentality. It's easy said, because when we say it, we all say amen. But in practice, we love ourselves too much. In practice, we need to die to ourselves. Let's go further. I want to go with you talking a little bit also about relationships. Because first, before you get married, it's all about relationship. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 1. James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, you must never treat people in different ways according to their outward appearance. God is saying, we must look at all people as equal. And we must learn what is inside of the person. Not what his appearance is all about, but what is inside the other person. We need to learn the other who he is. Not look at him as an object, but looking at him as a subject. And most of the people, if they choose friends, almost everywhere in the world, you first look. I like to dress myself like this. He dressed totally opposite. He dressed most like me, and he dressed totally like me. Who's the first person I'm going to talk with? I go to the person who's dressed like me. Then I say, I like to play tennis. Those guys like to play golf. Those guys like to play checkers. Who am I going to talk with? I like to play tennis. I go to the tennis person. We only go to the person that fits our interest. That's how we choose friends. And then when we are together, we talk about, hey, do you know who's the best tennisser? Yeah, do you like him? I like this guy. Yeah, I like that guy too. And do you know the guys from time ago? Yeah, those guys had a great serve. And then you talk, what's the best racket? This is a good racket. And I don't like this brand of rackets. And this tennis ball is nice. And you talk all about those things. But then you come and you say, you know, my mother is sick. Eh? What are you talking about? Mother sick? That's no tennis. Eh? You're now talking about something that we don't talk about here. We talk here about tennis. Yeah, but my mother's sick. All right. I will buy a beer for you, okay? Let's talk about tennis again. If you want to have a friends in the world, it's very easy. What is the biggest soccer club here in Maastricht? Huh? VVV? MVV? Put a soccer shirt of MVV. Go on the street and say, MVV, MVV. What will happen? Very fast, you will have friends. And they will say, you never walk alone. You're with us. But in the moment when you talk about something about your personal life to all those guys, they say, you're out of the group. And that's what happens. That's why friendship in the world doesn't work. That's why God says, don't look to the outside appearance. Look what is in the heart of the other person. If you cannot do that with friendship, it will be really hard with marriage. Because first, you will need to become friends. So you need to look who's the other person. What's the character? What's the emotions? What do they want in life? What are the things that really matters? Because soccer and FV doesn't matter. Tennis doesn't matter. What really matters is who we are inside. Amen? So God said, don't look to the outside appearance. We need to love each other. Jesus said, we need to love each other. Because when we love each other, let's go to that. John chapter 30, verse 34, 35. So I'm talking now about relationships in general. And that's very important for the church. Because the church needs to be different than the world outside. John, Gospel of John, chapter 30, verse 34, 35. And now I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. If you have love for one another, that everyone will know that you are my disciples. If we want to grow as a church, if we want to be the body of Christ, this is for student ministry, this is for church, this is for everything in the Christian world. If we really will love each other, looking at other persons as a person, not looking to the outside appearance, and not only being interested in the other person, but really I want to serve, I want to be there for the other person. We will love each other, and when we will love each other, the world wants to be part of us. Is that what they need? I say, a baby needs love. He's crying for love. And everyone is searching for love. Everyone. And that doesn't matter if you're in Maastricht, or if you're in America, or if you're in Amsterdam, or in Joinville, Brazil, where I live. People want to have authentic love. And if the Christian church will become the body that will give authentic love, people will come to us. But we must stop being a little child that only is thinking, what can I get? What can I suck? If you come with that attitude, say, I'm coming to church, and I want them to help me, and I want to receive this, and I want to have that. Same like the attitude you have from the government, because everyone only complains against the parties. Doesn't matter which party's in the government. They will get the blame. They don't give enough to us. And I've seen that murmuring, that complaining, was the same problem that Moses had. When Moses was in the desert, the people of God were also only complaining. I want to have food. I want to have water. I want to have this and I want that. Why did you brought me to the desert? Huh? Complained again. Murmuring. Because they're always thinking about themselves. And that also happened in marriage. In marriage, people say, hey, my wife doesn't give me enough attention. She doesn't help me. She's not nice to me. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and the wife does the same. But first God says, look at yourself. Do you want to change? Do you want to become a new creation? Do you want to become a new person? Change into the image and the likeness of God. Because God said, I created you in my image and in my likeness. And you are able and capable to become a loving person that can give love to another person. Do we want to be changed into the image and likeness of God? If we say, I want to be changed into the image and the likeness of God, I will say to you, you will be fantastic in church, you will be fantastic in relationships, in your marriage. And you must not be concerned if they will love you back. Many times we give love and our response is not love. Look to the life of Jesus. He was giving love everywhere. And many times when he was giving love, he got this back. But that doesn't change him. He still keep on loving because they even love your enemy. Do we want to become the children of God? If we want to become the children of God, we will do great. If we don't become the children of God, we will have problems. Let's go a little bit further. I want to go with you now telling about marriage. And there's a very important chapter about marriage. It's in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. God is talking about marriage, Paul is talking about marriage, Ephesians chapter 5. And he says, I'm not going to read the whole chapter because I want to be fast, because I'm thinking I'm taking on much too much time. How much time do I still have, Ken? Oh, I already crossed the border. All right, then I will be really fast. All right, I will be really fast. Then Ephesians chapter 5, if you read there from verse 21 till further, you will see the things what I will talk about, but we'll not read it to make up time. Paul's saying to the men, in marriage, you need to become like Christ. And Christ gave his life to the body. Christ gave his life to the church. And you as men must give your life. That's really hard. Because now it's not more about you. And I will give you an example. When I was a little kid, I only thought about myself. And I will give you an example now like this. I was now with my three kids, just like, go with me. I was with my three sons playing soccer, and they brought a friend along. So I, with my four kids, were playing soccer with all the church members. We were playing in a Brazilian sunny day. It was really hot. And so when we finished, we all were with dry mouths, and we were sweating, and we wanted to drink water. But there was no place that you could tap water for free. Normally, they have that in Brazil, everywhere that you can drink water. But I only must buy water. And I forgot to bring my wallet with me. So I only had in Brazil what you say, like something like 1 euro with me. So I went and I say, can I buy a water? Could not buy the bottle, could only buy a small 600 milliliter small bottle of water. Then I ask, give me 4 cups, because I thought me and my 3 sons. So I poured the water, all half cups, and I was really thirsty. And I said, oh, I forgot I brought a friend of my sons with me. So I said, the cup was mine, I gave to him. And they all 4 were drinking water, and I was with nothing. And then I saw 2 of the teenagers of our church with a big, nice, gold bottle of Coca-Cola. And they had, ships with them. And I saw them, that they were, everyone was looking at them. And I was looking as a thirsty pastor. And I see them too. They said, it's my bottle. I bought it with my teenage money. And I saw them two running off, saying, we go to YouTube alone. And then I thought, man, when I was a teenager, I was like them. It was my money. I worked it. It's my Coca-Cola. No one is going to get it. No one. Took off. But now I'm a grown-up. Now I'm a father. It's not more about me. My money is not to serve me. My money is to make my wife happy. My money is to make my children happy. My money is to give to the church, give to the poor. I'm the last person on the list. And the older I get, if I was young, I had a small amount of money, but full 100% to me. The older I get, the more money comes into my hand. That's with everyone, if things go good in your life. The older you get, the richer. That's the thing. The older you get. When I was young, I think it's not fair. When you're old, you got a lot of money and you don't need it. When you're young, you need it. But I found one thing, people. When you're young, you got a large amount of money. They don't share with no one. That's the most young people, what I found out. Buy directly a big car, buy directly big parties, go directly all around the world. But when you're older, you got your wife, you got your kids, you invest in your wife, you invest in your kid, you invest in the church, you invest in projects, you invest in community. Because it's not all about you. And then you become somebody. At that moment, you are somebody. Because people will say, there goes a man. There goes a man created in the image and likeness of God. We need to change. I think that God, and I'll say to you, maybe you say, hey, that's really hard for me. I believe the moment when you become a father, when you get married, I believe that God can do a matrix trick on you. Just plug on you and God will download. But if you want to change, I believe in change. I believe in change. But you need to say, I want to become different. I want to become a person that is the image and likeness of God. I don't want to be an egoistic person. I want to be a person that is able to love somebody else. Amen? Let me see if I got something, because if I've taught everything, I need to be fast. One small thing I want to say to the women, because I was saying the man must give his life. The women, the Bible says, must submit to her husband. And I want to explain what the Bible, really fast, what the Bible wants to say with that. The Bible wants to say you need to trust and believe your husband. Trust and believe in him. And what happens? You got this part in the Bible. How many of you know the story about Raquel? Raquel? Raquel was a beautiful lady. Raquel was married to Jacob. And Jacob said, we are going to a different country. I'm going to bring you to the promised land. The land that God has said to us will be the land of milk and honey. And we're going to go away from your father's house, go away from your land, and we will immigrate. Is that right? Immigrate to the other country that God has promised us. Believe and trust me. What did Raquel do? Raquel didn't submit, didn't trust, didn't believe. She went to our father's chamber, took the gods of our father and say, I don't believe in Jacob. I don't believe it will be the land of milk and honey. I will bring the statues of my father, because when things go wrong, I have insurance. People, what a man needs and what a marriage needs is that the wife believe, trust in her husband. And that's really hard. A man must give his life. A woman needs to trust and believe. I know that I really became upset on my wedding day. not with my wife, but with our family. I don't forget it. Because they make, you know, the Dutch marriages, they all do plays there. The family comes and do a little play. You have seen those sketches? And they made a sketch. And they said all the things what their family can provide. All the things that the family say, if there's a problem, we can do this, we can do that. So they said to her, basically, if your husband cannot provide to you, we are here for backup. That doesn't put a lot of trust and faith in your husband. And that's one thing why women need to say, if things go wrong, I not directly will phone up my father. I will not directly go help in searching with there's problems. When there's problems and I'm going to find a solution, not with my husband. This is a problem, you need to go to your husband. You need to pray with him, talk with him, and believe that he has the solution that God is going to give to him. But if you're not able to do that, and you're going to look at outside else, and you're going to look somewhere else, I'm going to say to you, you're destroying the foundation of your marriage. Because your husband is going to become insecure. He's going to become feeling that he's a failure. And he becomes that he cannot give the covering. And that's really bad. He's the one that God puts to put the covering. So when there's a problem, to who do you run to? Run to your husband. You believe in him. You pray with him. Even if look, if things go really bad, but you stick and you believe with him. You'll be his partner. You will not be the opposition that go throwing stones saying, you're doing everything wrong. Amen? So I'm coming to the end now. We need to change. We need to become like Jesus. We need to give love. And I want to say it to you. I will wrap it up. Now I'm coming to the end. The person that God gives to you, when you're going to get married, you're going to make this vow. That you're going to say, I belong to you till the day that we die, or the day when Christ come again to the big rapture. So the moment when we die, and the moment when the rapture is, the marriage comes to an end. Why at that moment? Because persons, the one that you married, the one that's your partner, is also the bride of somebody else. Yeah? I'm married with Peter, but I'm only the caretaker of her, till the day she's going to marry her real husband. Who is it me? Her real husband is Jesus. And this is the big question to us. How do we treat the bride of Jesus that God has given in trust, because Jesus trusts me, that I will take care of her for her to be happy, for her to grow up spiritually, to her become a better person, to her, for her fulfillment, that she will be a beautiful bride that I can present to Jesus. And saying, I'm the bride of Jesus, so my wife needs to present me. How do we treat the bride of Jesus? Yeah? How do we treat it? And that's also a big question for you, Ken. How do you treat the bride of Jesus in a whole? Yeah? That's true. And how we as Christians treat each other. Yeah? We are caretakers of each other. But in a marriage, you are the caretaker of your family to present to Jesus when he comes back. Amen? All right. Now it's the Holy Supper. I will not take time anymore. Go on. All right. Let's do a prayer. Let's stand up and let's pray. Let's close our eyes. I don't know where you are in life. Maybe some of you need friends. Maybe some of you are looking for someone to get a relationship with. Maybe some of you are engaged. Other of you are married. Maybe some of you are even divorced. But God here wants to change you tonight. Change in the morning. I always speak at night. Change you in the morning. God wants to change you this morning. This morning that we are together, God wants to change you. Lift up your hand if you say, I don't want to be a child anymore. I want to be a grown-up, building the image and the likeness of God. Thank you. Lift up your hand. You were created in the image and likeness of God, but sin stole that from us. Sin took that away from us. Sin is our egoistic mindset, the mindset of the world. How many of you want to trade the mindset of the world and be in the likeness of Jesus? Lift up your hand. God, here are your people. God, here are your children. You created them in your image, in your likeness. But sin has robbed that away from them, God, and put something terrible inside of them. But we are asking you, Jesus, that you come with your power, that you cleanse all the sin away, that you take the selfish, childish attitude away, mentality, and you replace that with your Holy Spirit that will restore unto each one of them your image and your likeness, that you will change their heart, change their mind, change their inner soul, that you will change their spirit, that you will make them a different person that will be in your image and your likeness, a person that will look at the other person and don't look at anymore as an object, but look as that the other person is a real somebody with an identity. Also, that you will change the attitude of them, that they will not say it's all about me, but they will think, how can I love the other? How can I serve the other? And that they also will think that not all their resources and everything that they have is about them, but they will be responsible for other persons, responsible for those who are weak, responsible for their friends, be responsible in the church community, be responsible in their families, in their relationships. Change each one of them, God. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon your people and change them in your image, in your likeness, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God. Receive it. Amen.